And until you say, hence, you're not going to see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Chapter 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Why? I think they're giving him a chance to walk back his judgment. I think they're thinking, okay, that can't be right. You know, God told us to build this. Again, it's God-ordained priests doing God-ordained sacrifices in a building that was ordained by God. And Jesus says, you see all these things? Yeah, not one stone's going to be left on another. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. That's why it's the Olivet Discourse. And the disciples came unto him privately. Which disciples? Mark tells us Peter, James, John, and Andrew. It's a private briefing. Only four disciples are involved. And they ask him questions. Okay, can you expound on this? Basically, take heed that no one deceives you. Okay, always important. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, be not troubled. Those are non-signs. The end is not yet. But nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Euphemism for world wars, and that is a sign, and there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. Sorrows, right? Like a woman in travail, verse 8. Always eschatological. And then he goes on, verses 9 to 13, 14. And he's talking about the church age. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the agapeo of many shall wax cold. The agape love shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Or I should put it delivered. Eternal life is not given in endurance. Okay, new ground now, right? That was just by way of review. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Because of that, there's groups who are very, very focused on making sure the gospel gets to the end of the world. Praise God. Matthew 28, we haven't got there. Jesus gives the great commission, says, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they are talking about, well, this people group hasn't been, and this one hasn't, and there's a new language here, and there's people emerging, and we're sending, and they've got this concerted effort going. I think it's wonderful. I have no criticism whatsoever. But we can't go until we finish this job, and we're very late to the game. We have a lot of work to do, and it doesn't look good at all. Not for our lifetimes, not for maybe even our children's lifetimes. So Jesus can't come back for a long, long time. So we got to hurry up. Let's roll up our sleeves. And these are what, I got a good friend of mine, and he's very animated about this. And it's his heart. Again, praise God. I'm not critical in any way, shape, or form. Do we have to get to every nook and cranny and corner of the planet before Jesus comes back? Well, let's just look at Revelation chapter 14. Let's look at Revelation 14. I'll hold my finger there so I don't lose it. Okay. Verse 6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Who said it had to be done by the church? Oh, it's our job to be sure. And angels don't preach the gospel, we do. Exclusively in this age, yes. But after the church is gone, does God want everyone to hear? Yes. Do we worry about smuggling Bibles and borders and what's against the law? And, well, if you don't like it, arrest this angel. Whatever, you know. God's going to make sure everybody is heard at least once. He's going to preach, what is it? The everlasting gospel to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. What about the guy on the island? I'm pretty sure him too. He's saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. That doesn't sound like the gospel I know. It's that gospel at that time. Fear God, turn to him, ask repentance. Did they say the whole, the Romans road? Look, I don't know. All I know is that we have an angel flying, preaching to those that dwell on the earth, everyone. Verse 8, and there followed another angel. Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Okay, so now you have a choice. Fear God and follow him. Babylon, yeah, that's a sinking ship. You want to get aboard that? That's not going to go well for you. As a matter of fact, I think you want to desert Babylon, come out from among her, and be separate and touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord. I think you want to get out of Babylon as quickly as possible. Babylon, idiomatic for all that, is against God in this the time of Jacob's trouble. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And on it goes. Will we accidentally get the mark? No. What about your children who are left behind, or our niece, or our my brother, or the postman who I've been trying to witness to, or whoever? Will they accidentally get the mark? No. You're not accidentally going to say, well, I never heard the gospel. You're not going to accidentally be a Babylonian when God wants you to be on his team, Team Jerusalem, and you're not accidentally going to get the mark. Well, I thought I was a tattoo. I didn't know. I thought I was a good look. No, none of those things, right? So I just want to show you that the gospel will be preached to all people of all time, everywhere, and forever. I mean, at the end of the age. And so when he's saying this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. It's in chapter 14. He doesn't come back till chapter 19, so he's all set there. By the way, Revelation being chronological. So that base is covered. Do you still want to go out and witness to everybody and tell everybody and give money towards organizations that promote the gospel and take it abroad? And of course we do. And again, I'm not critical. Please don't walk away with that. Oh, Adam was getting on the case of those people who are out there. No. Pray for them, love them, and they're committed to getting the whole world to hear. And we hear, these amazing stories, and God is working in China. China is so hell-bent on stopping the gospel, and the gospel is growing by leaps and bounds. Not in Iran. No, you are Iranian, and you preach the gospel. You are going to die horribly. It's the fastest-growing church on the planet. And Satan, sometimes I marvel at how clever he is, and sometimes I marvel at how stupid he is. And I probably shouldn't say that, but you're going to try stomping out the gospel? Well, that's never worked since Stephen. But whatevs, right? He thinks if he's brutal and people die, and that will wipe out the gospel. And it's never worked even once. Okay, verse 15. I was praying, even in my prayer, this part here, it can be a little confusing. I'm going to walk you through it. Verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Okay, it's a big chunk. Let's dive in. When therefore you shall see the abomination of desolation, did you read that with me? It says, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now you're on the hook. You have to understand. But don't get stressed. I'm going to walk you through it. But it's a little confusing because it happened and it's going to happen. When Jesus said it, he's between the time when it happened and when it's going to happen. When Daniel prophesied about it, it hadn't happened yet, the first time or the second time. Okay? But Daniel prophesied, and let's start there, in Daniel chapter 9. I talked through Daniel recently on Sunday nights. I hope you were there, and if you weren't, I can't develop the whole thing. I'm fighting the temptation to. Verse 26, after 62 weeks, that's after the 69 weeks of years, in Daniel chapter 9, shall Messiah be cut off. That means killed. Karat means killed for a capital crime. What capital crime? Blasphemy, specifically. But not for himself. He's going to be murdered, cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Okay, the prince of the people that shall come is a title for the Antichrist. So the Antichrist came in 70 AD and sacked Jerusalem and the temple. Not quite. He was the prince of the people that shall come. And by the way, he actually was a prince. His father was the emperor. Vespasian went to Rome, became the emperor, and his son, Titus, who sacked Rome, was actually a prince. And if you talk to Titus, you're saying, oh, look at this Bible verse, says the prince. I'm not a prince, I'm just a general. Actually, he was a prince, and he didn't even know it. Funny. And the prince of the people that shall come. Again, it's a title for the Antichrist. It goes beyond the sacking of Jerusalem. This is why people are confused. And I talked last week, there's a group called Preterists. They believe that all of Revelation already happened because of verses like this and their misunderstanding of that. And he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week, or 1 7-year period, week, right? Who's he? The prince that shall come. Or we would say the Antichrist. Did that happen yet? Did it happen to Titus Vespasian? Did he confirm a covenant with the many as Israel for 7 years? No. Let me say that again. No. He said, surrender or die. They said no, and they died. Over 1 million, okay? Covenant? Nope. Nope. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. The Antichrist, after coming to power, and I don't think he's Jewish because he's, for one, he comes out of the sea. That's a idiom for the Gentile nations. But beyond all that, he's confirming a covenant with Israel, tells me he's not Israel. It's like President Trump confirming a covenant with the United States. No, he can do it on behalf of the United States, but he can't do it with the United States. That doesn't make any sense. So the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. What sacrifice? What oblation? There will be a temple. and for the overspreading of abominations, thank you, Daniel, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You're saying, I have no idea what any of that's talking about. Well, I'll talk to you about the first abomination that resulted in desolation. Okay, we have Babylon. Israel goes to Babylon 70 years. They come back. They rebuild the wall. They rebuild the temple, second temple, right under Ezra and Nehemiah's leadership. And that temple is going to be desecrated, okay? It goes from Babylon to Medo-Persia to Greece under Alexander the Great. This is a history lesson now. And Alexander dies and he gives it to his four generals. And the big ones that we have to worry about is the king of the north, as he's called in Daniel chapter 10, and the king of the south. Egypt is the south, and the north, let's just say Assyria-ish. Say, where's Assyria? Syria, Turkey, and parts of Iraq, okay? Because it's not the same border that we see now. But he's the king of the north. And so Israel, if you can picture that in your mind, it becomes a buffer zone, a battleground, and mostly it's under the dominance of the king of the north, except for a small time called the Maccabean Revolt. What caused the Maccabees to revolt? The abomination that caused desolation. When a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, or Antiochus the Fourth, he hated Judaism. He made it a capital crime. If your child was circumcised, you'd be put to death, and the child would be put to death. If he caught you observing the Sabbath, you'd be put to death. If he caught you with a portion of Torah or a scroll or any part of the Old Testament, he would put you to death. And he tried to stamp out Judaism. And he went into the Holy of Holies, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar. That is the abomination that caused desolation. Historically, that he's referring to Daniel, and Daniel spoke of this, but he spoke more of, we just see that as a type and a shadow. And Antiochus Epiphanes, historically, is an Antichrist type. Was he the Antichrist? No, because Jesus spoke of him future. Okay, and this doesn't really tell us, and that history lesson is good, but it doesn't really tell us scripturally. You want to hear it scripturally? I'm so glad you guys are like that. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this is, now we got to sit and pay attention. Again, we're talking about the abomination of desolation. It happened historically, it's going to happen in the future, says Paul the Apostle in 2 Thessalonians, okay? Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. The coming of Jesus and our gathering together unto him, what's that talking about in a word? Jesus is going to come and we're going to be gathered together unto him. Rapture. Yes. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, supposedly from us, I could say, as that day of the Christ is at hand. Hey, we're not already in the tribulation like some people are teaching you, basically is what he's saying. Let no man deceive you. That's the same thing Jesus said. By any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is the Antichrist, the revelation beast, okay? And don't let anyone deceive you. That day is not going to come. We're not in the day of the Lord. That day is not going to come except to come a falling away first. Now, I vacillate back and forth. A falling away, a snatching away, that says the tribulation is going to happen before the man of sin is revealed. Then someone says, well, that is apostasia. The apostasy has to happen. Well, if that has to happen, you can check that box. You remember when I read about 4% of America has a Bible worldview, and only like not even 20% of evangelical Christians have a Bible worldview. Has the apostasy happened? Check. But I don't think it's saying that, because I'm listening to Ken Johnson, and he's got like these letters of antiquity and from like a Jewish perspective, and this falling away is snatching away. It's more, he's saying that the ancient Jews were writing that when you translate this into Hebrew, and it wasn't written in Hebrew, it was written in Greek, that they translate it, yeah, it's that the man of sin is not going to be revealed until the rapture. And it firmly teaches pre-tribulation rapture. And many do, early church fathers and the whole Qumran community, the Essenes, they all have writings on pre-tribulation rapture. Anyway, the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Read here, the abomination that causes desolation. He's sitting in the temple of God. So that means there has to be a temple. Well, wait a second. What about the first temple? How come it didn't all happen then? No man of sin sat in the temple and said, I'm God. That never happened. Roman come and sacked the city. They burnt the temple down with people still in it. They didn't get in it while it was burning and someone rush into the Holy Holy. By the way, I'm God. And people try to make the abomination of desolation happen in AD 70. But it didn't. It simply didn't. And what they offer is evidence. Well, you know, Romans sacked Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was the holy place, and they had their ensigns and all, you know, their, you know, gods that they worshipped in the inside of Jerusalem, and that's weak. That's no. He is sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, worship me, which is what Satan wanted all along, and this is Satan's man. Don't you remember? When I was with you, I told you these things, verse 5. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. What do you mean? The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit, right? Well, according to ancient Jewish sources, there is the church. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because, why did they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God gave them strong delusion. Well, why didn't they just let no man deceive you? Because they weren't following the way. Now, if there's more to explain, I can explain, but I think after a while you just get your eyes glass over. But Matthew chapter 24, when it says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, presupposing again a temple, whoso readeth, let him understand. Okay. Now you're on the hook. You got to understand because you read it. That's when, according to 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist goes in the temple and says, I am to be worshipped under pain of death if you don't. You better receive my mark, but there's an angel flying into heaven saying, you better not. How can we see that? We can't see the Holy of Holies now. One, it doesn't exist, but even if it does, it's going to be behind a veil. I ain't got no Levi jeans. I can't be in there. I can't see that. And how can someone see that? Listen, this is a technology statement. Can I just tell you, CNN? Oh, this will be the Antichrist. This is big news. He wants the whole world to worship him. It'll be on Instagram. It'll be on Facebook. It'll be on the 6 o'clock news. It'll be, you wouldn't be able to ignore it if you wanted. When that happens, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. What about those who are in New York? Don't worry about that. There's no mountains in New York. You're going to flee into the mountains anyway. Let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains. This is very Jewish. Let those which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. Have you been on your housetop recently? Are you a roofer? In Jerusalem, in Israel, people are on their housetop. It's like a patio. You know, it's a hot place in the, end of the day. It's kind of the only place, one of the few places off is a cool breeze. And people entertain, and they're on their housetops. Again, it's Jewish. Let him which is on the housetop not come down and take anything out of his house. In other words, split and split now. Judea people flee to the mountains. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. I left my tunic on. Forget about it. You got to go. You have not got time. Speed is of the essence. There's no time. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and to them which give suck in those days. Why? Because a child, it's hard to flee when you have a child, isn't it? Seems. I don't know. I've never fleed for my life, with or without a child. But I think a child would make the whole situation a little bit more cumbersome. I remember when the kids were very small and we were going over to a friend's house for dinner, we had to grab the pack and play and the stroller and the backpack and the diaper bag and the, oh my goodness, they come with all that, and they come into the world naked, but they don't stay that way very long, and we got to have diapers and we got to have, the pads and the changing thing and the, oh, it's, and you got to grab all that and flee? Well, okay. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. I told you it was very Jewish. And I think, by the way, if I'm fleeing for my life, the winter's a lovely time to flee, just as well as any other time. As far as I'm fleeing for my life, what do I care about the winter? Because if you're fleeing on foot, it's this parts of South Israel, it's still impassable. The wadis overflow during, rainy season, stuff like that, during the winter. And pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. Again, if I'm running for my life, any day of the week will do. But it's not us. He's not talking to us. He's talking to Israel. Why? Because we're not here. One. Two, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay? And as a matter of fact, if it's the time of Jacob's trouble, it would be strange if the church was here. God never has two economies. He's working with Israel. Okay, he sets Israel aside during the time of the Gentiles, we'll see. And then the time of the Gentiles is gone with the rapture, and now he's focuses back on Israel. It's easy. Can you ever see the church and Israel overlapping each other at the same time, and then God's focus is on who's God's people, the church or Israel? The church right now. We love Israel. We support Israel. Right now, the bride of Christ is the church of Jesus Christ, not Israel. And by the way, you don't exclude. He's taken the both, the Jew and Gentile, made them one. And I told you, in the Old Testament, you have Jew and Gentile. In the New Testament, you have Jew, Gentile, and church. So pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. So we're halfway into the tribulation. At 3.5 years, this is when this whole thing happens. We have to put a lot of scripture together to read that and to find that out. About the halfway, but the second half of the tribulation now, Jesus labels that as the great tribulation. But don't think the first 3.5 years are a Sunday school picnic. It's not. Over like I think half the world is dead by this point. You know, we're only in like two or three seals and one-third of the earth is struck down. So it's not, don't think of it as, but this is, according to Christ's word, he calls this the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. How do we know it's 7 years? Well, because of Daniel's prophecy and all through the book of the Revelation. He gives it to us in months, he gives it to us in days, he gives it to us, you know, he said after this abomination of desolation, what is it, time? Times and half a time, 3.5 years. And he says 42 months. And then he tells us the number of days he's been done everything to break it down in nanoseconds. So if it's 3.5 years, why do we think it's 7 years? It's because it's a Shemitah cycle. Okay? When's the next Shemitah start? September 20th, 2028. Well, we got 2 years before we're out of here. Maybe. The rapture can happen at any time. It doesn't have to happen right at the, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to happen. It can happen before the tribulation by 20, 30, 40 years or 5 minutes. We don't know, right? But there's going to be great tribulation. The world was never in such a state. It wasn't since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, we get the elect in the great tribulation, and you're all nerved up. Well, we have two groups in the tribulation saints and tribulation ain'ts. We got world dwellers, who Jesus is going to come back and conquer. The blood's going to be up to the horse's bridles. He's going to step on them like so many grapes. A la Isaiah chapter 63. And then we have his elect, his people. The ones he's going to come to save. All Israel's going to be saved. And among the nations, very many. How many? I don't know. A lot. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. What an incredible statement. You know, I wonder sometimes when somebody at Civil War time was reading this, they would have a hard time imagining the world being wiped out with musket fire, cannonballs, right, bayonets. Oh, yeah, I mean, a lot of people died during the Civil War. Hundreds of thousands. Now, we press a few buttons and the whole world detonates. I always wondered, those who have an 8-time-over world Earth arsenal. I can destroy the world 8 times. Seems like one would be sufficient. I don't know. Will it end in a nuclear holocaust? No. Except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What does that mean? I have no idea. What does a short day look like? Or not the full tally of days? It seems like if you saw the abomination of desolation, 3.5 years, Jesus come back, to the day. It seems like you could mark it on a calendar. Oh, I got 2 months left. Oh, I got 7 weeks left. Oh, I got, 4.5 days left. It seems like you could score it. What's the time? When's the tribulation? How much time do you have before the tribulation? We don't know. That's the part. That's the big mystery. And it seems like 7 years from the signing of that covenant that we read about in Daniel 9, 7 years to the day, I would say Jesus is returning. And he does things to the day. I don't know what it means that those days will be shortened. Now, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, I think this is specifically during that time, because people always have said that, and he's already said, many are going to come in my name saying I'm the Christ, but you don't want to, and deceive many, right? But make sure you're not, make sure you take heed that no one deceives you. But specifically, at that time, after the days, the abomination that causes desolation, except those days should be shortened. At that time, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Why? How could that be? Because Satan will have his Jannes and Jambres types who will turn water into blood and whatever else he needs to accomplish his tasks. You know, I think the church is set up for set up to be deceived in a way like many are. Many are. Oh, this is spirituality. Oh, I saw something on Facebook today about a prophetess. Is she an actress or an actual apostle? She's delivering people. She got this deliverance ministry, and she delivers people from Satan and stuff like that. Which, by the way, I believe, exorcism. I believe we have the right and the authority over Satan to deliver people who are in bondage from Satan's clutches. I believe in exorcism. Doesn't mean everyone who says they have the power to do it does it. And there's a lot of showmanship out there. There's a lot of healings that are, I believe God heals, but I've seen chicanery. Let's put it that way. And we look at this and we say, oh my goodness, that's crazy. How can that happen? And there's Satan. And at the end of the day, if you're not promoting Jesus Christ, and even if you're the Church of Jesus Christ, but you're promoting yourself, look at what a great healer man I am. That's probably, let's just keep moving for now. If anyone shall say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Is it possible? I don't know. To a degree, sometimes. I think what keeps me from being deceived is got nothing to do with cleverness. I think probably people who are twice as smart as me have been deceived. I think it's God's faithfulness, his commitment to keep us in the truth if we want to be in the truth. He's a good shepherd, and he will lead us and guide us past our understanding. You go through these great trials, and God's developing in us these benefits as we go through the trial. And he's saying, why am I doing this? Well, if any man lack wisdom, you do. I do. It's not insight. It's not intellect. It's not like, well, wait a second, let me just figure this out. It's not figuring out. It's like, okay, Lord, this is beyond me. From your heavenly vantage point, you who know everything, help me here. Will he? Absolutely. And the only caveat is that we receive from that and we believe. We don't be like, double-minded here means two-faced. It doesn't mean like honest skepticism, like, God, I'm really struggling here. Help me out because I'm not sure. I've fallen down here before, in this rabbit hole or whatever. But we need his wisdom from above, his insight, his way of looking at things. And I think that's what stops us from being deceived, because we are the very elect. It's not because we're clever. It's funny to me, because something comes out, and I'll talk to a friend, and he'll say, what do you think about this? And I'll say, well, I think of this. And he goes, that's exactly what I thought. And it's because we're both super geniuses. No, it's because we both have the same Holy Spirit who's leading us both in the same direction. Again, I talk to my wife very often about, this new thing. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? I don't think it's possible to deceive the very elect. You can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people all the time, some of the time, but you can't, fool all the people all the time. And I don't think you can fool the elect. Sometimes people get over on me because I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and stuff. They take advantage of my graciousness, but basically, I can see through stuff. And Suze does it better than me. And I just wonder if that's women's intuition or she's just very gifted or skilled at that. She can see phoniness better than I can see phoniness. I think in some ways women are superior beings. We marvel, you carry somebody inside of you 9 months and lay on a table and give birth, and where is it looking like, superior in a lot of ways, but I think that's one of them. You know, like, it seems like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and, you know, we're talking about Sue's, was at breakfast the other day, and, you know, so I get saved, and Sue's wasn't on board, and then she was, and then I've been trying to play catch up ever since. Why? Because if Christianity is a relationship, and it is, who does relationship better, men or women? Well, that's obvious. So, I think you guys have a leg up on us in that you just know you do relationship better. And I think you have trouble generally. If I think, well, that they're legit, and Sue says no, they're as shady as a $3 bill, I'll say to myself, okay, scale it back. She's probably right. She's seen this before. Just means don't trust them. It doesn't mean not befriend them, because a lot of my friends aren't all they're supposed to be. It's not to be my friend, all you basically is you want to be my friend, and I'm not going to sign a bank loan with you and, you know, loan you $50,000 that I'll never see again. But I understand that part of it, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to talk to you or anything like that. That's how, but she says, yeah, that's sketchy. I'm just, my goodness, I didn't know that. But here he's saying the Holy Spirit of God is going to direct you. I think that's what he's saying here. It's very important, because it just seems a lot of the church is deceived, or they walk through, or they're making choices that they know are wrong. You know, if I put a rainbow flag out here, then people will stop calling me a homophobe. And of course, it hurts my little feelings when people call me names. So, well, I know that's wrong, but, and I think that's, it's not like me being deceived so much as me going into something right with my eyes. Not that that's going to happen. That's a silly paradigm. But I'm just giving you an example. But I would go into that with my eyes wide open, not, well, I didn't know any better. And I think as we see the church lining up a certain way, I don't think it's us not knowing any better. I think it's we're willing to have the wool pull over our eyes for popularity or for people will think we're wonderful or something if we agree with them. Let's keep moving. We should spend a lot more time on that shall deceive the very elect. But behold, I have told you beforehand. Wherefore, if thou shalt send you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. You know why? Because as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You don't announce lightning. You don't say, hey, go into that room, there's lightning in there. Oh, it's in the secret room. It's out in the desert. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When he comes back, there will be no question. IJ, I wonder if that's Jesus. You mean that guy on the white horse? His name is called Faithful and True. His eyes are a flame of fire. And he's got angel armies and all the saints of all time on horses flying behind him. Yeah, that's probably Jesus, you know what I mean? What tipped you off, you know? There's going to be no doubt. Now, verse 28, I've always puzzled over this. Over the carcasses, there will the eagles be gathered together. I don't know. Someone says carcass just means body, and it could be a reference to the body of Christ when the Son of Man returns. I don't know. It just seems like that would be strange wording for that. I don't know. Now, immediately after the tribulation of those days, when's after the tribulation? Jesus shows up. Tribulation over. If you made it to the end, great. Now you got to face the sheep and goats judgment, as we'll learn about in chapter 25, so you're not home free yet. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, the sun darkened, moon not giving her light, stars falling from heaven, powers of heaven be shaken. I have no idea what that last, I don't know what powers of heaven, the powers of heaven, are they like demonic beings? I don't know. But in the sky, there's going to be signs immediately after the tribulation. You know, we had the blood moon stuff, and everyone kind of just, nothing happened. A warning is a warning. You know, I used to give my kids, hey, if you don't smarten up, you're headed for, it's not going to go well. I don't smack them and then warn them. And if I didn't smack them right at that second, is because I gave them a warning, and I gave them an opportunity to straighten up. So blood moons, everyone said, oh, see, nothing happened. And what did you want to happen? You know, we had two giant eclipses. One came from, like, I think Oregon and went out at Carolina. One started in Texas, one out of Maine. You could drive to see them. Some people did. I didn't. It was quite a phenomena to watch, but they say that the little, when the sun is when the moon is obscured by the sun, lunar eclipse, that's God warning Israel, the littler one. When the moon eclipses the sun, that's God warning the rest of the planet, the big one, all of us. And he used two solar eclipses to draw an X across America. Nothing happened. Yet. You think God approves of American behavior? I could spend a month of Sundays just preaching about all the evils in America. I didn't want to mention it, because once I start down that, it'll be like a snowball rolling downhill, picking up flakes and speed. I'll just be, it causes me great sorrow and great sadness, and it's something I pray about probably more often than I pray about just about anything else. I fear God's judgment on America. And God is telling us there's going to be signs in the... But it says after the tribulation. Okay, that's fair. And nothing before it. No, a lot of things happen during the tribulation as far as like meteors and stars, as it's put in Revelation, falling to earth, and there's all kinds of stuff. And God turns off the light of the sun several times. And great earthquakes and great upheavals during the time of the tribulation. And so that there should be this immediately after. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What's the sign of the Son of Man? God, Jesus himself. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Why? Why would they mourn? Because they're tribes of the earth. They're not the elect. They're the ones he's coming back, and they're like, uh-oh, I chose wrong. I knew this day was coming. Did they not know? There was three angels saying, don't receive the mark. Babylon's fallen. Here's the gospel. Fear God. And they, three strikes. Three strikes and you're out, right? That's how I always played the game. They're going to see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory, and they will be backpedaling to no avail. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And do what? Collect them. we have to make our pilgrimage to Jerusalem ourselves? No, he's going to have angels come get his elect. Those are the earth elect, not the, because the us elect will be with him. We're coming back with him. But he's going to go and get all the ones, his people, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, we're going to talk about the parable of the fig tree next week. I knew I wouldn't finish. It's fine. We're working our way down through a tough section of Scripture, okay? Next week, we'll look at the rapture. We're going to look at just a lot of stuff. You know, and in chapter 25, it's kind of like the Olivet Discourse part two. So we'll end there.